Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Two of Australia's leading MVPs, presenters, bloggers, and all-round Microsoft tech nerds. Robert Crane. He's an Office 365 MVP and the director of CIA Ops. Mark Keane. He's a Microsoft Azure MVP and an Azure / PowerShell Premier Field Engineer working at Microsoft. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. And brought to you by Ingram Micro Cloud. Streamline the provisioning, billing, and management of your clients' popular cloud business applications, including Microsoft Azure, Office 365, SkyKick, and more, with the Ingram Micro Cloud Marketplace and Cloud Store. Registrations for the Ingram Micro Cloud Summit 2017 across Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane are now open at www.ingrammicrocloudsummit.com.au. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Hello, welcome to a special environment here with the Need to Know podcast. I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Keane. Mark, how are we going?
Hey, Rob, how are you going? I can actually see you. We're in the same room together.
This is unnerving, Mark. Where are we? Tell the listeners where we actually are.
At Microsoft's head office in North Ryde.
Excellent. All right. So we thought we'd sneak in here and do a quick podcast before Mark and I head off for the rest of our day. So since Mark's been nice enough to invite us in, why don't you kick us off with some news, Mark?
Well, how about we quickly tell each other what we've been up to lately, just very, very quickly, and then we'll dive into the news.
Why don't you start then?
All right. Well, I've just been in Adelaide hanging out with a very good friend of mine, or a very good friend of the podcast called Adam Fowler. And in fact, on this podcast, we'll be crossing to him very, very soon, because I did a bit of a recording with Adam Fowler, a very well-known MVP in Adelaide. So we'll talk to him very, very soon.
Excellent. All right. Well, I've been doing some presentations, finished in Office 365 Saturday last weekend, the last one around for me. So I did a presentation on automation, which I've also thrown up on the YouTube, so you can have a look at that as well. We've got lots of events coming up on Microsoft 365 soon, and we've got Ignite coming along soon, so there'll be lots and lots of news from that.
Is that automation, Azure automation, is it, or?
No, not Azure, unfortunately, Office 365, but there is a bit of PowerShell in there.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. I'm happy with that. All right, should we dive into the news?
Yep, why don't you kick us off?
All right, so a common challenge in cloud development is managing the credentials used to authenticate to cloud services and keeping credentials out of code, but not anymore. So Azure Active Directory Managed Service Identity, MSI for short, is in preview, and this is how it helps keep credentials out of code. So MSI gives your code an automatically managed identity for authentication to Azure services so that credentials are kept out of code. So what is it exactly? Do you know what it is, Rob?
I got to admit, this is a bit unnerving being able to see exactly what you're doing in the background.
You've said this before.
Yeah,
we've gone through this before. This is nothing new.
This is freaking me out. It really is. I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Really? Okay. Well, look, this is called preparation. So anyway, what is it exactly? So your code needs credentials to authenticate to cloud services, but also you want to block the visibility of those credentials as much as possible. So Azure Key Vault could be used to store your credentials securely. So they are in your code, but to retrieve them, you still need to authenticate to Azure Key Vault. So it's like the classic bootstrap problem. So, however, the magic of Azure and Azure AD, so MSI provides a bootstrap identity. So the managed service identity comes along and saves the day. So when you enable MSI for an Azure service, like a virtual machine, app service, functions, or so forth, Azure creates a service principal, which is attached to the instance of the service in Azure AD and injects the credentials, the client ID and certificate for the service principal into the instance of the service. So it's like it's done at the device level. So what do you reckon? How cool is that?
Yeah, I think, look, again, it's really good that Azure's really been focused on security of late with the encryption of its blobs and its queues and all that sort of stuff. So security is obviously a big push at the moment, which is good to see.
Yeah, so we'll have more info that in the show notes, so you can try that out. Now, the other one that's come across is the fact that we're introducing, or Microsoft's introducing, Azure Confidential Computing. So Microsoft Azure is the first cloud to offer new data security capabilities with a collection of features and services called Azure Confidential Computing. So Confidential Computing offers protection that previously has been missing from public clouds, encryption of data while in use. This means that data can be processed in the cloud with the assurance that is, it's always under customer control. Data that is accessed while in use, either through administrative accounts or by leveraging compromised keys to access encrypted data. Malicious insiders with administrative privilege or direct access to hardware on which it's been processed, or hackers and malware that exploit bugs in the operating system, so application or the hypervisor. So with Azure Confidential Computing, your data in Azure will be safe in transit and at rest. However, when data is in the clear, which is required for efficient processing, the data is protected inside a trusted execution environment, TEE for short, also known as an enclave. So TEEs ensure that there is no way to view data or the operations inside from the outside, and if the code is altered or tampered in any way, the operations are denied and the environment is disabled. So Microsoft are announcing the use of confidential computing for Azure SQL Database and SQL Server. You can try out Azure Confidential Computing through an early access program, with more details of that in the show notes.
All right, excellent. Is that the last you've got, or have you got one more?
I've got one more.
So let's do that.
And this is pretty cool. It's introducing yet another virtual machine series to Azure called the B series. And what does B stand for?
Blastable.
Close. Take out the L. Burstable. So there's now the preview of the B series Azure virtual machines, a new Azure VM family that provides the lowest cost of any existing size with flexible CPU usage. For some web servers or some other such environments, the CPU performance can be very, very bursty. So these workloads will run for a long, long time using small resources of the CPU performance, and then all of a sudden they might spike and needing the full power of the CPU due to incoming traffic or required workloads and so forth. So with Azure's current VM sizes, while running in these low points, you're still paying the full CPU cost and resource cost just to accommodate large bursts. So the B series offers a cost-effective way to deploy workloads that do not need the full performance of CPU continuously and to accommodate these bursts. So while the B series VMs are running in low resource utilization, your VM instance builds up what's known as credits. When the VM has accumulated enough credit, as the usage demand increases, the resource utilization can happily burst to 100% of the actual virtual CPU. Okay, so think about just one CPU, it's 100% of that one CPU. So these VM sizes allow you to pay and burst as you need using Intel's Haswell processor, version 3. This level of control gives you extremely cost flexibility and flexible value as well. So as an example, here we go. A beef VM family, so standard B8MS, has 8 CPUs with 135% baseline performance shared across all of the 8 CPUs, right? If your application leverages 4 of the 8 cores, or 4 of the 8 CPUs only, working on, say, batch processing, and each of the 4 CPUs are running at 30% utilization, you're only using half of the total amount of CPUs, so effectively only 15% utilization calculated across all the CPUs, so the total amount of VM CPU performance left over would be 120%. Meaning that your VM would be building credit time based on the 15% delta of the baseline performance. It means that when you have credits available, which pretty much you would do in this instance, with the same VM, you can use 100% of all 8 CPUs, giving you a max CPU performance of 800%. So what about that?
Excellent, 800%, that's always good.
800%, I know, it freaks you out when you hear that 800%. How is that possible? But anyway, it's available in US West 2 and the East regions, also West Europe, and also Southeast Asia as well. So that's all I've got, Rob. Over to you.
Excellent. All right. Well, one of the biggest pieces of news, I think, in the Office 365 world is that Microsoft Teams has finally enabled external access. So this means that you can now go and allow people outside your organization to join your Microsoft team, to have a chat, to get access to the SharePoint site, to be part of the planner, all that sort of information. couple of caveats. Firstly is it's not turned on by default, so you need to go into your admin portal and select the options. I've got a blog post that I wrote recently that I'll put in the show notes for you. Once you've enabled external access, then at this stage, the only people you can invite need to have an Azure AD account. So they need to be Office 365 or Azure. Microsoft has promised to enable the Microsoft account for external users shortly, but at this stage, only Azure AD accounts. Now, I've used this, we've set this up with my little patron group that I've got, and it's working really well. So we've invited people in, they can come in and chat in the different channels, they can share the SharePoint information, do all that sort of stuff really quickly and easily. It's a little bit cumbersome when you move between teams because you've got to sort of, I suppose, change tenants. Hopefully Microsoft will look to improve that shortly. The interesting thing is that you would have thought that this announcement would have been announced at Ignite. It's strange that Microsoft team decided to release this before Ignite. So to me, that indicates that there's a good chance we're going to see a lot more major announcements around Microsoft Teams because they've gone early with this and it was something that was really, really, I suppose, most requested. So good to see that Microsoft Teams has got finally got external access. We'll put the link to the show notes and show you how to do that. The other one I've got here is that Microsoft is going to change the app launcher. So when you hit the waffle or the nine dots in the top left-hand corner of your Office 365, you'll see a number of tiles. Microsoft is changing that to make it a bit more, I suppose, a bit sleek and also to improve it based on your usage. So the more icons, more times you click on an icon, the more times it'll move up the menu. So Microsoft is rolling that out from October. Which is a bit of a pain because now I've got to redo all my notes and blog posts and training to indicate there's a new app launcher. So I'll put the link in the show notes and look out for that shortly. Aside from that, we've got some updates for Office 365 on the iPad and the iPhone. So Microsoft seems very committed to the iOS space, bringing those updates out, make it look nicer. We've also got a new status indicator in OneDrive to indicate whether the file has been shared with different parties. So again, notes in the blog post for that. And finally, we have Microsoft Ignite coming up, I think in about a week's time now.
A couple of weeks, I think, yeah.
I think it's next week. And there is now a lot of guides going up there as to what events to see. Now, the great thing for Microsoft is they'll be making those available live or they'll be streaming them very shortly after the fact. So I've got a link here to the SharePoint and OneDrive guide for Microsoft Ignite. I've also got, recently saw this morning, there's one for Teams. So we'll try and include those, but we'll look to wrap up information around Ignite as it comes out because there'll be a huge amount of both Azure and Office 365 news, and we'll do our best to provide close-on coverage for that, won't we, Mark?
Oh, we will do our very utmost best in our busy lives as well.
All right, well, I think that's enough from me, enough from you. Anything else before we get into the Adam Fowler bit?
No, that's probably it. Yeah, so we'll cross now to, or we won't cross, we'll just, here we go, we'll just play the Adam Fowler interview that we pre-recorded in Adelaide last week. I'm out and about on site, on location, in a place called Adelaide, of all places, in Australia. And I'm here for work, and I'm with a customer. And I managed to run into somebody which you all should know as a fairly popular MVP who was awarded an MVP
January this year. First time MVP.
That's right. But you're popular because you've got like 4,000 followers on Twitter. And so, Adam Fowler. So, when you say Adelaide, or when you think Adelaide, you think, or I think, Adam Fowler is what I think when it comes to IT. So how did you get that many followers on Twitter?
Well, only a few of them are paid bots, so it's a good start. I've been on Twitter for several years, and a lot of it does come down to interaction with other users, along with sharing interesting news stories.
Right, okay. And what about your blog site?
The blog site, adamfowlerit.com. That's been around for a few years now as well. I can tell you about the history of where it came from, because I'm sure everyone's interested in that.
Yeah, so it's been around for a couple of years, which is good for MVPs, because that's what Lana looks out for, is to see your history and the work that you've done in the community. So go on, tell us about the history of your blog site.
Cool, yeah. So I started off not with adamfowlerit.com, but contributing to another site that probably, looking back 6 years ago now, someone started up a site that came out of TechEd Australia, and a lot of people were just contributing blog posts and articles to it. And out of that, ended up deciding I was creating enough content to do my own site. And I started using it for either voicing my opinion on certain technology things, or it's a good way of doing self-documentation. If there was something new I learned that wasn't easily Googleable or Bingable, I ended up blogging about it, and it went from there.
It's pretty much the same thing, or same reason why heaps of other people do blog sites, and it's the reason why I started doing blog sites back in the day as well. And I must ask, so Adam Fowler IT, is that a company that you've got? Is that your IT company?
No, that's just being really uncreative. I couldn't come up with any better name than that. And there's no other company behind it. I've got my own ABN, that's about it.
Okay, so I was thinking that there's a big company in Adelaide called Adam Fowler IT, and you're the big manager for it, but it's just your name for your blog site.
Well, there is Adam Internet, which is a building nearby, but no, that's a different Adam.
That's yours as well, isn't it?
If it was, I probably wouldn't be in Adelaide talking on this podcast.
And we've got, you got all this money stowed away because that sold recently, didn't it, to one of the massive ISP
mobs? Yeah, I think iNet bought that, which TPG bought iNet, so I'm sure they're rolling in money.
And TPG also bought the other ISP, what was that?
That's Internodes, that's another Adelaide-based one.
Another Adelaide one. So it looks like all the ISPs in Adelaide have been gobbled up.
Yeah, must be doing something right here for big companies to buy them out.
And do you think they'll eventually buy Adam Fowler IT as well at some stage?
Well, I wouldn't talk for less than six figures, but,
your blog site, you got 4,000 followers on Twitter, you got your blog site happening. And so how often do you actually blog?
I try to do one a week, and if I was more organised, I'd be scheduling my posts and working it out, but I try and do it when I feel like doing it, which is luckily semi-regularly, and sometimes I might do two or three in 2 or 3 days, and then it might be 2 weeks between that and the next one, but I don't try and write things for the sake of writing. I need something to write about, but luckily my job gives me a lot of chances and opportunities to discover different ideas.
Yeah, cool. And you can sort of not rush, you can sort of take it at your own pace. And look, it's what got you the, well, I guess one of the things that got you the MVP, as well as your tweets and everything else, your passion for the Microsoft community. And what about the other stuff you do for the community in Adelaide, the user groups?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes. So almost a year ago now, I took over the Adelaide Windows user group. And then I ended up merging with the Adelaide System Centre community with Brett Moffat, who runs that. And now we've turned into the Adelaide Microsoft IT Pro community, which is a bit of a mouthful, but we tried to keep it a bit more broad to be able to cover all different interesting topics that are all Microsoft related.
How often do you do that? Is it once a month?
Yeah, once a month, and we try and get some swag to give away and have pizzas, so it's quite good.
Is it the MVP thing that we went to, you get the pizza from somebody that donates them for, or puts that money in, or is it stuff the money that you have to work out? I mean, because we had a conversation about it at the community catch-up that we did about it's hard work to, one, get people to come, two, to provide all the, or get all the money and pay for pizzas and drinks and everything. So is it, how are you coping with all of this?
Yeah, so I try and take an approach where I don't want to go over the top, and because there's two of us running the community and we work together well, I guess halves the work in a sense. We do have the deal from DevExpress, who have offered it out to any community saying, mention us and you get free pizza. So that's an awesome deal from them.
Mention who?
DevExpress.
Again?
One more time, DevExpress.
Okay, so how many pizzas do I get for this on the podcast? Are they going to send the podcast some pizzas for this too?
We need to speak to DevExpress, but
DevExpress.
Yes, so I assume for the two of us, that's probably 1.5 pizzas each.
And I've got some kids, DevExpress.
Oh, okay. Yep. I
Plus
don't Rob, know.
Dev Express.
I don't know if they cover like your Supreme pizzas. It might only be a basic, ham and pineapple.
And will they delivery express them to Sydney?
I believe so. I think they're Australia wide, if not around the world.
Excellent. Rob will be happy for that. I'm sure he loves his pizza. Okay, so the user group, how long have you been doing that for?
So it's just under a year.
So it's only early days.
But getting a bit of attention and slowly growing it. So getting good turnouts.
Awesome, and it's slowly building in numbers and things.
Yeah, and
excellent.
Get good attention to it. So it's going well.
Excellent. And what about as far as the nights go? Do you start off with like a new session to begin with, and you dive into some speakers, or how does that go? Some demos, or do you guys
so
do? focus on events or certain topics?
Yep. In the last year, it's probably been higher level concepts. So, for example, last week I did a session on Office 365 extras. So I was just covering all the other bits that make up Office 365 that are beyond Exchange and SharePoint and Skype for Business.
Mm-hmm.
That had a really good turnout. So.
Okay. All right, and now tell us about, if I didn't say it before, congratulations for your MVP award. I did
Thank
see
you.
That come through, and I sort of knew, I had an inkling and a gut feeling that would happen because, like, I've come across your blog site before in the past, and I have found you on Twitter and stuff like that. And so, as I said, like, you think Adelaide IT, you think Adam Fowler is basically how it is. And so, yeah, you got there, and it was only a natural progression for you. But what are you doing right now in your current work life?
So I do have a full-time 40-hour a week job, so that takes up a lot of my attention. And beyond that, yeah, doing a few bits and pieces, writing for a few different sites. My day-to-day job, I'm an IT operations manager at a law firm in Adelaide. And
that's where we are right now.
That's right. We've had you out for the week to help us fast-track for Azure.
Well, it's only been 2 days. I've got another 3 days to go, haven't we? Yeah, what's today? Tuesday. Yeah, I've got another 3 days to go yet.
Yes. But
So tell us about your project that you're working on, the exciting project, and why that I'm here.
Well, as far as I can tell, Microsoft gave us a free resource for a week to teach us about Azure. So we said, sure,
free.
We'll take that.
Really? Maybe free in your eyes.
Well,
I'm sure it's not free in somebody's eyes.
Someone's paying.
Somebody's paying, but you don't have to worry about that. Yes. And so, you've got how many servers on-prem?
Roughly 160, which are almost all virtual.
Yeah, and so we drew this up on the whiteboard. We sort of came in and started off with a bit of a discovery session to work out what you've got. And then I think what is your long-term goal is to move everything up to the cloud?
Potentially. We're still looking into that. It may not make sense, but it may do. We're early days, so we've got to do a infrastructure refresh soon. And we'll look at the options, and Azure being one of them.
And can I ask the reasons, the main business driving factors behind the whole decision to move or start looking at moving to the cloud?
Yeah, it's the standard sort of cloud logic you'd apply as to why. The flexibility, not having to commit and go, yep, we're going to need exactly this amount of disk space and CPU over the next 3 to 4 years. It's that flexibility approach that hopefully will get it over the line to make sense for us.
Enormous scale and being more agile, I guess.
Yes, and being able to pivot.
Yes.
Pivots when needed.
Yes, exactly. So tell us about you and yourself with Azure. We were having a conversation yesterday about Azure AD and B2B, and you're telling me all about this exciting stuff. How about you tell everybody all about this exciting stuff that you're doing with B2B?
Oh, where do I start? So Azure AD B2B.
Tell us what it is first. Give us an introduction to it. What is Azure AD B2B? And why should we care? And tell us what you've been doing with it.
Sure. So I reckon it's been in there for at least a year and a half to 2 years. So it's a business-to-business concept for Azure AD to invite other businesses into your Azure AD tenant. We originally used it as a way of creating data rooms in SharePoint Online and then inviting other businesses into those data rooms to share documents with. And that worked really well. But because we were on B2B in the early days, it was a product not many people were using early on due to, not many people having a need for it at that stage. So we've been running with it since then, and it's been going quite well. And we've seen the product evolve a lot in the last year and a half or so.
So you've got a SharePoint document library, is it?
So we can sort of do what we want in SharePoint Online. So primarily it's used for sharing documents, but we can do other news items or other SharePoint features, and then use Azure AD B2B to send out invites to external parties who then can use their own Microsoft identity, which can either be tenant-based or their own Microsoft account.
Like a live ID?
Yes, which that wasn't there in the early days, so they've now adapted that and brought on pseudo-tenants, so they get created on the fly when you invite someone that has no Microsoft account whatsoever. And then they can log on to your tenant as a guest and get access to the resources that you give them.
So it's a good way of, making it easy to share out. So not only within the company internally what SharePoint's good for, but it's also to take that one extra outside of the company to share the your documents with other companies. But tell me the difference. So if I'm in SharePoint, for example, and I've got a document, I can right-click and go share with such and such and add an address in, right? So I can do that myself already. Is that like a small bit of B2B, or is B2B bigger than that?
Yeah, it is bigger than that. So you're, in a sense, allowing that account into your Azure AD tenant and then controlling what access they get. Now, for a SharePoint site, you might be giving them a few documents, which is the same as sharing out documents to them, but you can more control experience they get, and they can also do things like subscribe to SharePoint lists, so they get all notification on email when a new document gets uploaded or changed.
Okay, so it's more than just ad hoc adding an account to one document. You add the account behind the scenes to the actual Azure AD itself, and then you can work with that at that level.
That's right, yes.
Okay. As Adam takes a quick cough, that's okay. We are in Adelaide. It's getting a bit cool. The wind's starting to creep up. I noticed when I got here yesterday or Sunday, I checked the weather forecast on Monday, and it was nice, 22 degrees, and left the hotel at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was in Adelaide, and it was just started spring, and it was about 18 and a half degrees already at 8 o'clock in the morning. I thought, that's surprising, because in Sydney it would take ages to get to that temperature. And this morning, again, I left at about the same time, and it was already about 18 and a half degrees as well. So is that, like, tomorrow's going to be freezing cold, I understand. Like, tomorrow's going to be 14. It's going to be freezing.
Yeah, we're a bit over the place here temperature-wise. We don't get the rain like Melbourne does, but, yeah, you'll find you might get up in the morning and it's freezing cold, and a few hours later you're taking your jacket off because it's too hot.
Well, you know, okay, so all the good stuff that you're doing with this project, and for the last 2 days, you've got... We've talked about Azure and I hope you somewhat sort of know a little bit more than what you did before, and hoping that's the reason why I'm here. Tell me some of the stuff in the last couple of days. I know it's early days in the week, but some of the stuff that we've talked about that you really like.
Where do you start? Azure is such a big beast. Give me a moment on that.
I asked you a tough question.
You did.
So we've been working with virtual networks. We've been working with uploading files to the cloud, like VHD files to the cloud. We've been spinning up virtual machines. We've been talking about IaaS, overview storage, from in general, virtual machines. We dived into networking, talked about VNets and subnets and user-defined routes and express route versus site-to-site VPNs and all that sort of stuff. Bit of a quick recap of what we've done for the last couple of days. Yeah, so what are the, out of those topics, what are the stuff that's really sort of shone out for, what are the ones that have, shone through and stood out for you?
It's a bit tough because we're looking at high-level concepts still. We haven't done too much deep dive stuff. I guess part of it is ease of use. So it's hard when you start looking at Azure to understand where to start and what to do, but now getting the concepts of your networking, why you would do site-to-site or express route, what sort of traffic flows across it, your VMs, your different types of tiers of compute, how that is all charged. It's, I guess, the good thing for me at this stage is probably getting a better understanding of that overall as a bigger picture, as opposed to understanding little bits and pieces, but now I'm starting to tie them together and understand more of the big picture as to how you would manage that day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's slightly the same as on-prem. You've just got other data centers somewhere else. It's just in a different place.
Yeah.
And then you've got pretty much more benefits because you've got faster links to start with. Not only that, you don't have to worry about the servers. They just run. And if you do have power outages, which I must say in Adelaide happens quite regularly. Sorry, okay. Adelaide.
You've only been here like 2 days, or you've already seen
them. Hey, you told me to walk to that street over there, didn't you? For dinner last night, which I did. And as I walked down the street, the whole block was, the power was out.
Yeah, it was only the markets in the central CBD of Adelaide.
Only the most important part, with restaurants.
There's not many people there.
People do have to eat.
hopefully their food stayed good during the power outage.
Oh, well, I'm don't even go there. I'm not going to go there tonight for dinner, that's for sure. Okay, so as far as getting back to Azure, so you've currently got Well, the business has currently got a certain ISP at the moment, which doesn't support Express Route.
Yes.
At the MPLS level.
I'm not sure we should name that ISP. They might be listening.
A certain... yeah, exactly. Well, they might, if they've got good ears all the way from Singapore, possibly.
True.
They could be listening.
True.
But yeah, a certain ISP that doesn't really support Express Route. But I think... Remember we talked about the VPNs and how the new SKUs of the VPNs are out? So we've got the 650 megabits per second, then we've got like 1 gigabit per second and 1.25 gigabits per second. What do you feel about that? Do you feel the excitement that I feel about that? Because that, since they came out about 2 months ago, like before that, the fastest speed for the VPN, you could get about just over 100 megabits per second, which was not fast enough. But these new SKUs that are out now, there's more chances that you can use a VNet, like a site-to-site VPN.
Yes.
There's more instances where you can use that now rather than going down the Express Route route.
Yes, so I think it's firstly a good excuse to get a faster internet connection for yourself. And beyond that, I think a lot of people have the concern about getting data in and out of the cloud. So making that faster should help people feel a bit more at ease. If they need to get something out for whatever reason and they can do it at 1 gigabit a second or more, some of those excuses start to fly out the window, I think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And once stuff's up there, then once it's all up there and operating, then it's much, much easier then to move forward and plan for things.
Yes, and if you start looking at technologies like Azure Stack and you're using that, in a hybrid sense between your on-prem and Azure in the cloud, having a crazy fast connection like that, again, should make migrating VMs and all the other bits and pieces that you do a lot quicker.
Okay, well, look, it's getting pretty cold out here. We should wrap things up in a second because I think we'll do another small recording with us. We're going out to dinner tonight with another counterpart, another mate of yours.
Yes, that's Brett Moffat, who runs the user group with me.
Yes, so we'll do another follow-up with this at dinner
Sounds
tonight.
Good.
But in the meantime, do you want to tell everybody how they can get in contact with you?
Sure. So Twitter, I'm normally on there, at @AdamFowler_IT. You also find my website, AdamFowlerIT.com. They're probably the main two places. And please contact me anytime. I'm always happy to have a chat about things.
Excellent. Well, look, Adam, thank you very much for spending the time with me to record this on the podcast. And by the way, I added your little voice at the beginning, because you're now an MVP, and if you've noticed at the beginning of the Need to Know podcast, we've added little snippets of everybody saying, "Hi, I'm such and such," and so yeah, thank you very much for adding your piece. It's extended the intro out just a little bit, and I know Rob's like, "It's already too long," but you know what? I've made it that length because it's a great intro, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm biased.
And who are you going to cut from that list of amazing people at the intro?
That's right, and I did stick you right next to Scott Guthrie as well.
Yeah, so I'm sure that won't last too long. But, as I said before...
Somebody might bump you down the list.
I think being on the intro to this podcast shows that I've now made it.
Excellent. All right, we'll continue on with part two shortly, which could be interesting because that'll be after a few beers.
I look forward to it. I'll talk to you then.
So, Adam.
Yes, Mark.
We are back. Thank you for talking to me on top of the building that we're at before. What level were we on when we spoke before?
That was level 16, so we're now grounded.
You're actually underground in a speakeasy here in Adelaide.
Is this what it is, a speakeasy?
It's speakeasy, it's actually called, yes.
Hello, Brett.
Hi, how are you going?
Okay. Brett Moffat from Saracen in Adelaide.
Saracen,
we've had you on the podcast before.
Not on the podcast. We've been on
the podcast.
YouTube.
Oh yeah, we did too. But we did. Yes, we used the same kit, same microphone.
Correct.
Yeah, exact same mic. And so that's right. So long time IT person, but first time on no time listener to the podcast.
Non time listener to the podcast. I've never been on a podcast before in my life. Huge podcast fan, but never been actually on a podcast.
Well, you are here now.
Yes.
And so here with Adam. So, Brett and Adam together equals what?
Are the Adelaide IT, Adelaide Microsoft IT Pro Community.
It was a good idea at the time, that name.
Yeah, it was a good idea at the time.
It does seem a bit long-winded now, but it explains well what it is.
It pretty much does, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yes.
How long have you been running for?
Well, so it was an amalgamation of the Adelaide System Centre user community and the Windows user group.
The Microsoft Windows user group.
So they, I guess, combined have been running for 2.5 years.
And now you know that IT Pro, it's open not only to on-prem, it's also open to cloud as well.
Yeah, pretty much. Everything. It's hybrid, pretty much everything that any IT stack. Pro would be interested in, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Over 300 customers now?
They're all part of the community.
Yeah, part of the community. Yeah, which is really cool.
Would you say it's the biggest IT event that's happening, or the biggest...
I would say that. It may not be true, but I would say that.
In Adelaide? The biggest user group?
South Australia. I would go further than just Adelaide.
Yes. No. It fits a niche. You know, I think there's a fantastic .NET user group here in Adelaide. There's also a specific Azure group here in Adelaide, and they do their own thing. But, you know, we want to be something that's more generic, that people can take home something from what we talk about at our user community and actually use day-to-day in what it is that they're doing.
We did give away mugs last
and
week,
we give away
so
shit.
That's
yeah.
something you could take home and use, yeah.
I'll beep that out for the younger audience.
Yeah,
if we have any younger audience people. I know my son sometimes listens, but that's all right. It's all good. So, talking about ships, I did go on a ship just recently on holidays. Yeah, so nice that you brought that up.
Yeah, good.
Yes, but this user group, you've got a massive sponsor. Massive, huge.
Brett, as thinking about it, is lost.
Your lost words.
Well, Microsoft provide the premises, of course.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. Thanks to Microsoft.
The on-premises or on-premise.
Yeah.
On-prem or on-premises?
Any of them. I'll accept all of them.
There's a certain person at Microsoft, which I won't go into names right now, but if you mention on-premise, he will go apeshit at you.
Even after a few beers?
Yeah.
So, Adam, as I said before, because we were on top of the building, Brett, you weren't there when we had the first part one of this live recording of the Need to Know podcast from Adelaide. Myself and Adam were having a bit of a chat.
Your name came up.
Your name came up.
Oh, dear.
And we did talk about having a part two. So, Brett, just tell us, because we've had a bit of a chat about Adam, about his past, and congratulations to becoming an MVP. So tell us about your part. Give everybody an introduction to who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, so I'm Adelaide born and bred, so don't hold that against me, but I've been in the IT industry for over 20 years. Been programming computers since I was eight years of age. On the Commodore 64 was my first machine that I ever cut code on, which is a bit of fun. But really, I started my career at service desks and working on different service desks around South Australia here, and then moved on to end user computing, desktop support, and consulting at EDS. Before moving on to different consulting around System Center and a lot of end user computing. So when I started at Cyrus just over two years ago now, as a solutions architect working with different System Center components, but mainly around both Service Manager and Configuration Manager, really trying to get people to realize the value of the product that they've got when they start talking about System Center and actually start using it in their business to the maximum effect.
And you've been in Adelaide ever since?
Adelaide, born and bred.
So, because normally in Australia, Sydney's the capital for IT, but you've been here ever since and you've always had a job, no problem. You've raised a family, you've got three awesome kids that you've been talking about.
Yes, fantastic. I don't actually live in Adelaide. I actually live about an hour north of Adelaide in the Barossa Valley, which is like Hunter Valley wine region. One of the best wine regions in the planet, if you ask me, but that's just me.
This is why, because I remember last time I spoke to you, And you mentioned you were at this winery or something.
Yeah.
And you were there working at the winery drinking half your life. Is this what it's about?
Hey,
working in IT in Adelaide? You sort of wherever, have a glass of wine beside the mouse?
Wherever my laptop is, that's my office. So whether it's in a winery in the Barossa Valley or whether it's a speakeasy here in Adelaide speaking to you, this is my office.
And I wouldn't say it's a laptop, though. Your laptop is more of
a desktop
server as such, with 32 gigs of RAM.
It's more of a desktop with a flip-top screen on it, yeah.
Okay, well, my little battery light is flashing at me, saying that the battery's about to run flat. And plus, I think you have to head home shortly. We left it probably a little bit too late. But can you give everybody, let everybody know the best way to contact you if they need? Because like obviously the System Center and Service Manager and SCCM.
Yep.
And we've spoken to you before, but maybe not on the podcast. We've spoken to you before. There's we'll put links to the videos, the Channel 9 videos.
Yep.
In the podcast show notes.
Yep.
As well, and if you can let people know how to they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, well, they can get in contact with us for our community here in Adelaide at meetup.com/ Adelaide Microsoft IT Pro Community, or just go to meetup.com and search for IT Pro Community.
Do you have a Twitter account?
I'm also on Twitter, is at Brett Moff. But I'm also on Vimeo, vimeo.com/TeamSaracen. There's a lot of webinars up there that I do a lot of stuff.
Yes, and you use the Rode microphones. Good old Rode, because Rode's a sponsor of our podcast, the Need to Know podcast, and you've got Rode kit yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I use the Rode kit. That Rode kit.
Yeah, so I actually, ever since we did the videos that we did at the
Experts Live,
it was
in Melbourne.
Yes, that's right. Was System Center Universe, but now it's Experts Live. We did that there. I saw the Rode kit, so I actually bought one of the Rode microphones to actually start to record
with
our IT Pro with a dead cat on it, which
it comes with a dead cat,
which stops all the popping, which is really good.
The furry friend.
And yeah, so we record that every month and put it up on Vimeo.com, and so people can actually see it if they're not there.
Okay, what's the link for that?
Great question. Vimeo.com and then search for IT Pro Community.
Or they can go to adamfowlerit.com.
Yep, and by the time this is up, I'll have the link there.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.